We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you're buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy. We are your hosts, the wonderful Kellys.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you, Kelly?
Doing all right. I'm a little sunburned.
Oh, nice. That's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is, if it's just aging or what, but I was just in North Carolina and put so much sunblock on, and I still ended up getting sunburned. I don't know what it is, if it's just...
Sunburned my head a few weeks ago. I had my hair in braids and we were at the camper and I thought braids would be like easy because we were camping and gross. Right.
Yeah.
And it was so sunny. It wasn't even hot out. And I ended up burning the top of my head. Yeah. I think
just blaming menopause is just like another thing. Another symptom of menopause is that just, I think sunblock is no longer going to work on me.
So. All right.
So it doesn't work really well since I just bought a pool, but well.
Just add it to the list, right, of things to deal with at our age.
Right, exactly. And I say that I just bought a pool, so I don't want you all to think that I'm wealthy or anything. It was a $180 blow-up pool because we just don't have that kind of money. And I say money because that's what we're going to be talking about. We're talking about money, guys.
For like a month. We're going to talk about money for like the next 6 weeks for three episodes.
It's exposure therapy.
Yeah.
Because I need
I think that it's desperately needed because we have tried to get women to show up and talk money for months now. Mm-hmm. And this is the answer. Like, hey, you're not going to show up. We're going to shove it in your ears.
Yep.
And so we've got Lori Kibbe today, and then we also have another interview lined up with another woman that's going to talk money, and then we're going to talk money in the middle, and so you're going to get some different perspectives. We may repeat ourselves because, you know, we're elderly, and but I think a lot of the importance is understanding what you don't understand.
We need to become financially literate.
Yes.
We cannot be financially wealthy. We need to be financially literate.
And as small business owners, and I say small because the U.S. government says anything under 500 employees, as small business owners, like your life, your personal life and your money, especially for us micro business owners, are entwined. Yeah. When you take out debt, the first thing they have you do is sign off your house.
Mm-hmm.
So that debt falls through, that bank's coming, right? So the first thing we do is entwine our finances. And some people are probably better at it than others. And some people may have different lived experiences than we do, which is fine. We're just going to share ours. But yeah, we are entwined.
We are. And we need to talk
like
about
it. Every time somebody asks for a free taco, I'm like, that's food for my kids. Like that's paying for, you know, their school clothes for the year, or their new sneakers, or whatever it is that your kids need because they need everything all the time. But it's entwined.
It is. And we have to stop being frightened or scared about talking about it. And we're going to talk, we talk a lot about it with Lori, and we'll probably talk about it more with Abby and with us. It's just, it's something that a lot of us as women, we're not spoken to about. We weren't taught about money the way perhaps if you had a brother that maybe they were spoken to about. We didn't learn things like that, and we have to get educated on it because we are taking over. We are taking over the small business world. I'm just going to read one stat. I'm going to read it, I think, every time that we do this from Forbes magazine. Where is it? I just lost it now. It is. Dun, dun, dun. Women-owned businesses are growing, but still underfunded. As of 2024, women own 42% of businesses, yet receive less than 2% of venture capital funding.
Shut the fuck up.
I shall not. I shall not shut the fuck up.
Less than 2%? Jesus. And I knew it was going to be bad when you started reading it, but I didn't know it was going to be that bad.
We're crafty motherfuckers, and we'll figure it out. But I think we can start figuring out new things.
Yeah, and when we're putting everything on the line instead of getting traditional funding like our male counterparts do, and we're already less likely to be at the same wage performance mm-hmm. that our male counterparts have, we have more financial responsibilities.
Yep.
We're more likely to have to take on, child caring or single parent houses. You're more likely to take on taking care of your parents than your male counterparts. Like, all those things cost a lot of money, and we're doing it with less.
Exactly.
So, Baron, follow us for the next couple of months, and let's talk money while we're relaxing in the summer sun and getting our sunburns on.
Absolutely. And then we are going to wrap it all up, and we'll talk about some great self-care after all of that.
Yes.
Hopefully from an island. Right, Cal?
I hope so.
You and I.
We're manifesting it.
We're manifesting a retreat. If anybody wants to gift us a retreat for our bossy members, feel free to reach out. Love it.
BossyRock@gmail.com, BossyRoc@gmail.com. Enjoy the episode. Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Kelly,
the host of Getting Real with Bossy, the real, raw, and honest podcast about small business ownership. With our experience, 9 businesses and over 25 years, we continue to bear it all and share what we wish we had known.
We move past the must-be-nices and start getting real. Come along as we interview small business owners and get the true story.
Leave with another tool for the next time you feel alone on this journey.
Today, we are thrilled to welcome a true powerhouse to the show, Lori Kibbe. Lori is a dynamic entrepreneur, investor, and advocate for women's empowerment. As the managing partner at Celine Brighthouse, a real estate investment fund focused on community retail centers, Lori is on a mission to help women realize just how powerful they truly are. Her career spans real estate, health and beauty, biomed, and fashion, but at the heart of everything she does is a bold commitment to sustainability, community, innovation, and joy. Lori challenges the status quo, inspires women to step into their financial power, and believes that life and investing are as much a spiritual journey as they are a financial one. Today, we'll dive into how women are doing business and investing differently, why trusting your own perspective matters, and how a feminine approach can transform not only portfolios, but lives. Get ready for a conversation that's empowering, authentic, and full of wisdom. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I love that woman you described.
It's always weird hearing other people talk about you. And totally. I feel like it's refreshing, right? Like to
yes, really, really. I love that description. I definitely want to be her.
You are her.
That's you. Well, welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Well, we're very glad to have you.
So where shall we start?
Well, I mean, that intro was, you'd have to be like 150 years old, I think, to have accomplished all of that.
I know I'm much older than I look. No, how's that one?
So with everything you've done, tell us what you're doing now.
So I am running the fund. Interestingly enough, since the startup of the fund, our objective has been to educate women, to make them more financially savvy, really to provide alternative investments opportunities for them. And what we've discovered through that process is, one, the threshold of fear that many women have in expanding their portfolios. or that who their advisors are really not as adventuresome as possibly they need to be. They keep them in more traditional portfolios. Or they're much more used to what I think is more commonly understood, like fix and flips and buying multifamily. So we're actually in the midst, in our fund at least, of reevaluating how we can be most useful to women, because we still want the educational platform, which we're working on, how to really be a really good investor, how to do great due diligence, you know, how to even understand your financial positioning in that, in any investment. But we're actually looking to expand our fund to be a lender so that actually more women can actualize what they're most comfortable with rather than trying to stretch them into what they can't quite conceive of yet for their portfolios. So that's kind of the major change where I am at the moment. It's been quite an eye-opening experience for me to really speak with so many women and understand where they are in their journeys. You know, they have great careers. Many of them are, you know, high performing within their organizations, you know, senior VPs or above, some in the C-suite. And simple things like what their net worth is they don't know. And so backing up into really understanding your own, like, business, which is yourself, if you will, and what you're worth, you know, where are all your assets, what are your assets, which ones work best for you, really backing up into that, it's amazing how many women, as high-performing as they are, don't have. And I think it's because of training. I don't think any of us are trained, you know, in our lifetime to know that.
No.
Well, and I think the crazy thing I see is that I feel like women tend to be, as the caregiver in the family, in charge of so much and making sure things happen, right? You're in charge of, you know, the bills and the grocery shopping and all of the things that need to get done that cost money. You're spending the money. They say that women are, you know, the number one vote in whatever you're purchasing, right? So if a family's purchasing something, it's the wife that really makes that final decision. So society knows who to advertise to. They know who's spending the money. They know who's really in charge of the money, even in very conservative relationships where the man may control all of the money. It all really comes down to that decision making, right? Yes. Which is the woman, generally speaking. Yes. And I find that so many women, even as you said, like powerful women, bosses, high functioning CEOs, you know, executive situations, don't want to talk about money. They don't, it just is something that just exists. And you kind of ignore it and you live with it and you keep moving forward with it. But even for us, like in our group, like trying to get women together when it comes to financials, right? Anytime we do a seminar that's money focused, it's really hard to get people to show up. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an innate fear of, we think we don't understand it, but we are the ones living it. So we really truly do.
Yes.
But we just have this idea.
We didn't grow up that way either, though. We didn't grow up being talked to about money in that way. Yeah. About investing and learning that. That wasn't part of how we grew up.
Yes. Nobody took the time. I mean, maybe if you were lucky. I learned how to balance a checkbook.
Right.
You know, young women these days don't even do that. They just check on their app. And, you know, I know with my girls, I've said, wait a minute. Just checking your app occasionally just to see your balance doesn't mean that somebody hasn't stolen money out of your account. You know, they just pay their credit cards. Do you ever check your credit cards? You know, the charges? Do you save your, like, there's a consciousness around it, I think, that we're not raised with. We are. I agree with you, Kelly, completely, that we know how to pay the bills. We know how to choose the house that our family will live in. We help choose the schools that our kids will go to. We know what that will cost. We know our budgets for clothing our children, feeding our children, whatever. But we don't get included in the decisions about how to plan for the future. What are the big retirement goals? What are investments? And even if you are included, my observation is, when you sit across the desk from a financial advisor, he addresses his comments and questions mm-hmm. to the male in the room. It's so disrespectful, assuming that the woman in the room isn't competent to understand or isn't part of the decision-making. I've been in so many of those meetings where they won't even make eye contact with me, and I find it so, I find it so off-putting, to say the very least, and infuriating at the very, you know. Mm-hmm. I've learned to control myself because now I know I speak up, and I actually confront that. If somebody doesn't look at me and I'm part of the decision-making, I actually ask, how come you're not including me in this conversation?
Well, it's because we're too emotional to handle. The word too emotional is the and I think this is why we're having this conversation, because we need to start flipping the script.
Absolutely.
So, and so many of our women are business owners or business leaders. So, and we are still building that financial foundation while we're also juggling our everyday realities of running our lives and building our small businesses. So what are some small but kind of powerful steps we can take to start investing and kind of start building that future for ourselves? What are some things you can tell us?
You know, I think that women who own their own businesses have are already learning how to have a voice. They're obviously building their business. They need to bring that voice into the world. I really do think that they do. And I see women doing it in their small business, in their businesses, small or big. It's now bringing it out into the world in a larger way. I also think financial literacy, and I'm not keen on the word literacy, but we all understand it, because I don't mean to say that people are illiterate in their financial understanding, but I think to have a broader grasp. Of course, now with AI, it's so easy to educate yourself. You can ask questions of AI and get good, solid, easy to understand answers. So understanding financial jargon is a really good beginning, because when you're in meetings where people throw those things around, you don't feel like, you don't sit there feeling like you can't ask the question what that means right then, because it almost devalues you more or takes away your power. So having some of those, understanding those words, understanding what they mean. What is an IRR? As an example, in investing, because that's my background, is investing. Obviously, I've started many a small business as well. Understanding even a balance sheet. What does a balance sheet mean? What are the, you know, ratios on a balance sheet are important to understand. The basic understanding of liabilities versus expenses. What are the difference? What is that difference? Why is one an expense on a P&L and one is on a balance sheet? Those basics, I think, are very important to understand. It gives you a literacy, it gives you a base from which you can include yourself in conversations from a business perspective. I mean, from a personal perspective, I think it's really understanding and exploring the internal reasons as why you feel like you can't speak up if you need to.
And the thing that bothers me is there is so many resources to learn if you don't know what something means. Like you said, you can even ask AI if you don't want to Google it, you know, or Safari it or whatever your internet browser is. And it drives me insane that we allow ourselves to be uninformed about something so important when you don't have to ask another human being if you don't want to. I mean, you can go to a class, you can become part of a group, you can, you do all of these different things, but there's so many resources out there that there's no reason we shouldn't know that. So first of all, I think every woman listening, every person, because I think this also goes for men, it's just that we're targeted women. We have a lot of male listeners. Every person out there that doesn't know the basics of their financials needs to go out and figure it out. You need to know the difference. You need to understand your balance sheet. You need to know where your money is and how you're spending it and what those terms mean. So that we can be a part of the conversation. So you do feel slightly more informed. Even when I'm teaching my servers how to become servers, the first thing I say is you need to know everything about the menu. The more you know, the more you're going to walk up to that table and you're going to own the conversation and you're going to be able to guide the people, right? So that goes for ourselves too. Like, why do we not know the things that are going on in our lives? It's empowering. And then you hopefully can attend the things and ask the questions so that you can grow and have a bigger say and a bigger control of your money, and not just kind of leaving it out there into the world where there is a human being somewhere controlling it and it's not you. You know, it may look like it's behind a computer or a screen, but ultimately there's a person making those decisions for you.
Absolutely. I also think that looking out into the future and working backwards, I think that we're so consumed with the day-to-day, you know, bombardment of information and trying to make things work today that there is a stepping back a little bit. I like to talk about legacies, but I don't mean just your financial legacy, like what are you going to leave your children, for example, but a broader view of yourself as leaving a legacy. Who, at the end of what you're trying to achieve, who are you? What is it you want people to think about what you've done? What's the objective of learning all of this? What purpose does it serve out in the future? I think is extraordinarily important. You know, to take it back to business terms, you almost want a business plan for yourself.
Yeah.
With a goal that you're planning for. And we're, you know, my children are much older, so, but I remember when, you know, it was getting them through school, then getting them into universities and paying for that and making sure that, you know, the immediacy of life. And I think in the same way that we need to be educated around the language of our finances, the language of understanding our net worth and building our estates and having what we want in life, we also need to be thinking out into the future and taking a moment to kind of plan in a much broader way what it is we're wanting out of life, personally and financially. Because I think when those two align more strongly and you know what you're working for and why you're learning this, it has more power as well in to be able to actualize it. It's easy to just get caught in that I need to do this. I love it, but I need to do it. My family needs it. I need it. You know, those kinds of things. So I think that's really important.
And
more and more,
so hard.
Where I am, legacy is important, I think.
Yeah, so we do. I think it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, especially as business owners, because there are so many things you're juggling.
Yes.
That it is
hard. And this is not just women. This is men, too. If you have men who listen, this applies across. I speak to men, too. Many of them also find themselves in the same place that women are, which is interesting that they still exert themselves as if they are informed.
Yes.
Even when they're not so informed. So that goes back to the whole concept of, you know, finding your voice and being able to speak up in, like, and not being embarrassed about, there. Like I say to the women, there is no question in my mind that's ever stupid if it better informs you. Who cares what the other person on the other side thinks? You're trying to be better at what you're doing, you know? So there's a boldness to it that I think we need to bring to every conversation we're having, so that we are better informed, so we can make better decisions.
And remember,
so we are more powerful.
How much we know, right? I may not know what these acronyms mean or, you know, some aspect of my finances, but we're all geniuses at something. We're all carrying something that somebody else doesn't know. So I think acknowledging that internally is empowering and gives you a little bit of freedom to not know other things and to ask those questions. If you can just remind yourself of all the things you are fantastic at, that this person you're speaking to probably has no idea about.
Absolutely. And I can't speak for men, but I do know the women I speak to. Women have one, I think, key advantage. They have great intuition. And I think that the more that you acknowledge your intuition, so something happens and it aligns with an intuitive understanding or an intuitive expectation, you need to acknowledge it, because it builds your intuition. That's what I have found. Even those kind of funny little things, like you think of your daughter and she calls you, mm-hmm. I acknowledge that, like, oh, that was my intuition. I didn't say, oh, she's going to call me, but she came into my mind, she called. And I have found that that builds our intuition, and we're very good at that. We're in a meeting. You can tell what people are thinking or where it might go. Like, trust that. I think that's a very key component of, at least for women's talent pool, if you will. Mm-hmm. Our resources we can pull from, I think intuition is one of them. So
can we get real for a second? Not that we haven't been real, but this is getting real with Bossy. And I think one other thing that gets in the way of us talking about investing is, there are a lot of people that think this is only for the wealthy. This is only for people with a lot of money. And let's be honest, as business owners, We don't have a lot of that. We are, if there is profit, oftentimes we are putting that right back into our business, especially at the beginning, or especially after a global pandemic, or especially in an economy where we are downright terrified about what is going to be happening if you are in retail or hospitality. So when we are building our business brick by brick and we only have a few hundred dollars, is this even something we should be considering?
That is a good question. Without knowing somebody's situation, you might consider that putting that money back into your business is your investment for now. I always had a philosophy of taking, even if it's the smallest amount, and putting it aside. I always felt like it was important to have emergency money, because when you're in business for yourself, you never know when there's going to be a downturn. And you may need that emergency money, and if every penny goes back into your business. So even though it's a great, maybe a perfect way to invest in yourself, I do think having some portion of it set aside, and if that grows to where you're finding you don't need it, then you have the opportunity to start expanding your portfolio. So it's really around a strategy. I do understand money. I've been an entrepreneur all my life, but I always made sure I had an emergency fund. And sometimes it got used on my business when it was in desperate straits.
Right.
Because I much of my business during my early career was in construction, and you know it's totally cyclical. So there were times that money had to come in to that. But then there were times where I wanted to make an investment. We wanted to move to a bigger home. We had another child, you know, and that money afforded us the opportunity to expand. And at some point, hopefully as your business grows, that emergency money becomes large enough that you can actually then start investing some of it.
Right.
So, you know, it's a step-by-step process, but starts with making sure you have the resources. And that requires some attention to not just plowing your money into where, without looking again at the bigger picture, like, okay, does my company really need $90 or $100? If I have $100 and it only needs $90, then put that $10 away. Don't just put in the $100 because it's an easy solution.
Thank you.
Do you know what I mean?
And absolutely.
Sometimes that happens. You don't think about it, but you could make that, and you can. And then it makes you look at your business, actually, in my experience, more methodically. Like, if you want to set money aside and you know, okay, I want to set aside 10%. I'm only going to use 90% to plow back in my business. Is my business running most efficiently? Like, how do I best use that? And it makes you look more directly at your business. Again, coming back to understanding your numbers, understanding your P&L, understanding your balance sheet. What does it really need? Because we can get caught up in that it just needs, and that's not always the case.
Do
you have to step back a little? So.
Oh, I love my P&L.
And that's how I would approach it. And I think nobody's ever, it's never too small to invest. Like, if there's opportunities, get your toes wet. You know, if you have some extra resources, don't let it sit around. It's losing money if it's sitting in your mattress.
Yeah.
You know, cash loses money every day.
Today's episode is sponsored by Selena's Mexican Restaurant in Rochester, New York. We are proud to continue offering fresh-made, Mexican-inspired recipes that are affordable and served by Rochester's best. Check out our catering menu for groups of 10 to 2,000. Looking for something different to do? Selena's hosts monthly tequila tasting classes, as well as corporate team-building seminars. Check out the website to learn more, selenas.com, S-A-L-E-N-A-S.com. Come in and let us take care of the rest.
Hello, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Don. Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? We have what you need at the Union Tavern Restaurant and Event Space in Seabreeze.
Whether you're planning a large celebration for up to 120 guests or need a cozy, intimate space, we've got you covered. Check out the Brad Street, our hidden gem speakeasy, perfect for gatherings of up to 20 people.
With reasonable pricing, an exciting and inclusive menu, and no reservation fees for weekday groups, the Union Tavern makes hosting your event easy and affordable.
Celebrate in style right here at the Union Tavern.
Book today at the UnionTavernSeabreeze.com.
I think that's one of the biggest myths about investments that we need to get rid of. Like, it's never, there's never, you can start anytime. You can start any age. Obviously, the younger, the better, but you can start anytime with any amount of money.
Absolutely. And there are really easy ways to do it. I mean, you know, Schwab makes it really easy. And they have funds you can put in small amounts of money in and earn a little bit of money on it. Do you know what I mean? Your local savings bank has savings accounts. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get started. Obviously, that's, you know, at the very beginning, you want to expand beyond that, but there's no reason not to.
Well, even simple
if you
things
have some extra.
Like if you're getting a paycheck from your business, like I put a portion of my money in my savings account. It's just something I've always done, and I never look at my savings account, right? Like, so there's mm-hmm. always a little bit, even if it's $10, you know, there's something every week going into a different account that has a dividend that makes money at the end of the year. And it's an emergency fund. It builds. And if I need to transfer that money to different places for whatever reason, or if I want to invest that money, that's money that I've learned to live without. Because we do focus so much on our checking account and the in and out of the money,
right,
that having that money go aside somewhere else. We do the same thing in our business with sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
right.
budget mm-hmm. a percentage and then over budget so that that money goes into a separate account. So when the sales tax
right.
comes,
right.
Exactly. I'm not surprised. Yeah. And then I have money left over. And then, you know, you decide where that money goes. But doing it in a way that you don't think about it if you're not used to doing
right.
it. So that
right.
it's just something that's naturally happening and you don't even have to worry about it. And then you can get comfortable
yeah.
with that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's an important thing, actually, depending on where someone is, if they have children, to teach them early on to do that. You know, I had my kids very early on when they had jobs. I had them put it into three accounts, one for their travel or fun, one for their emergency, and one for, you know, like they had to live, you know. I think it's a very good habit to early, to teach, you know, as well as do for yourself.
Right.
If you're an entrepreneur and you own your own business, the biggest, most useful thing you can do for yourself in my world, and I have a finance background, is know your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Know your numbers. Know them if you, you know, day to day, if your business is a daily cash business, you know, like hospitality, you know, food service, you're making money every day, understand your costs. Very, very important. Where your money's going, how much you're costing, how to improve margins. I think that translates absolutely into understanding your own financial bigger picture, you know, understanding where your costs are, what's essential, what isn't essential. What do you really want and enjoy? Is that worth spending? The other thing is, I think learning a little bit of deferred gratification never hurts in building.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so do you need, you know, that, I don't know, pair of shoes today? Or would it be great to buy it out of earnings because you put that money into something that earns you,
mm-hmm.
you know, a return, and then that return builds and gives you the opportunity to do something with it, to have the thing you wanted. It's just a month from now or 5 months from now or a year from now. Do you know what I mean? So I think learning that and understanding, again, it goes back to looking at what it is you want to achieve now, what it is you want in the long run, and is that aligned? And how do you align all of that so you really have what it is you're trying to create out of your life, you know?
So. I'm loving this conversation. I think it's so important. And I hope that so many people listening really think about their own relationship with money. One of the things we talked about when we first met you was the transfer of wealth that's happening
yes.
in the country. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yes. I mean, you know, the largest, they call it the largest wealth transfer in the history of our country. I've seen numbers go up, but it's also about time. So over the next 10 years, I think the number has now grown to about $38 trillion will be transferring, and they say it's transferring to women. And the reason that is because women outlive men by 7 years, generally speaking. And so a lot of that transfer is from husbands to wives, fathers to daughters. So this is just a giant wealth transfer. One of the reasons I started the fund and also the education program is thinking about all those women who will come into. They say the average is about 600,000. Obviously, some will be much less. Some will be way more. How do you, when you come into that money, manage it? What has happened, if you look at even kind of, it's almost like a lottery if you think about it. Many of us do not know the financial positioning of our parents. It's a very uncomfortable conversation that we never have, like, what's your estate? How's it organized? is it coming to me or not? Do you, you know, like, is it even planned for? It's almost like winning the lottery in a way when you get your parents pass away or a parent passes away and you come into, let's say you do come into $600,000. Like, that is like a lottery. You're not thought, you didn't know about it, you haven't had this conversation. And you know the stats on lotteries. I think with most lottery winners lose all their money within a year or something. Mm-hmm. It's a horrendous statistic like that. So if you think about this inheritance, I'm very concerned that the women who, they have an opportunity to change the world, the society, the community that they live in, if they have the knowledge and the ability to step back and think about that in a more, I don't even know the right word, business way, if you will. Do you know what I mean? Not just, oh, wow, I have this money. Now I can have everything that I couldn't have before. You know, I can buy those shoes or I get that car or maybe it's a house. House wouldn't be such a bad investment, but, you know. So, but having the ability to step back and having a plan that if you do inherit that, like, how do you invest it? Being informed about how you can invest it, very, very important. I think it should start now that we should be having these conversations with our parents about what is happening. I know I've had that with my mother. My mother's 92 and healthy as can be. So she's, but I sat down with her and said, like, I would like to understand, like, am I going to be, who's your executor? You know what I mean? Who's going to manage your estate? Not that it's big, but it's a lot of work to manage somebody's estate if you don't understand it's coming to you. So I think with this big wealth transfer, women have a responsibility to be informed, to understand finance at a bigger level because they may come into controlling a lot of money and to make sure that it actually benefits them. Very, very important. You don't want to just have it disappear in a year.
Right.
It can be life-changing for women. I mean, if you're owning your own business, it could be life-changing for your business. It could be, I mean, think about what could happen if you inherited money that allowed you to do, expand your portfolio and create more wealth for your own family. But that doesn't happen if you're not prepared.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to handle it.
Right, because then it's just throwing money at problems, and you don't want to
exactly.
do that.
Exactly.
So spend the time getting knowledgeable now. Be prepared.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you know, and at any level, I don't care mm-hmm. if it's $100,000 mm-hmm. or $50,000, that could be life-changing for someone.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So there is no, and this is the thing I think about, you said something earlier about, you know, only for the rich or the wealthy. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is you need to see that you're wealthy no matter where you are in the total dollar amount
right.
that you have. That is your wealth. And how you best deploy it to live the life that you're looking to live is a good question to ask yourself.
Oh, you know? I love that.
So, yeah, it just makes you more thoughtful about it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't diminish where you are, you know, if you can see yourself as living a wealthy life. And to me, that's as much about being happy and being, I don't think you can grow from where you are until you know where you are.
Yes.
No. So.
Yes.
Writing.
There you go. We got our quote for the episode.
I'm writing it down now.
You can't grow from where you are if you don't know where you are.
That's right. It's very powerful to remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you were the average American and you came into $600,000, or your client was the average American and came into $600,000, what would your top advice be?
Well, if I was in a financial advisor, which I'm not, but let's say I came into $600,000. And if I was the woman I'm talking to, not the woman that I am, because I obviously know, I would first want to take, I would take stock of where I am in life. What do I owe where? Mm-hmm. Is it debt that I should have? Is it too expensive debt? Does it make sense to pay it off? Do I own my home? You know, I would look, what are my upcoming expenses? And what's my investment portfolio look like? I'd want to take stock of where I am in all aspects of my life to understand, can I improve that picture with that $600,000? It's like, where could it go? So let's say, for example, I had a lot of credit card debt. I'd been living on credit cards because my kids were in school. You know, that's just a typical, you know, I have three children in school and they need clothes for school and shoes and books, and they're in, let's say they're in university and your credit debt is like expanding. You might, and it's 23%, because I think most Americans these days, if you have credit card, I think the interest rate is double digit in the 20s somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who has credit interest less than that. It might be the best choice to say, I've got to pay that off. You know, and then what have I been using that for? And look to see, okay, how much should I put aside to project for the next couple of years, that these are expenses I know I'm going to have because of their education. If you don't have that, but you have credit card debt, I don't believe in credit card debt. I think you need to get rid of it. It makes people poor, in my opinion. You know, it eats up every excess bit of amount of money that you could be saving to invest. And it just grows. You know, if you ever look at the calculations, if you have $1,000 worth of debt and it's 28% interest, it'll take you, you know, 22 years to pay it off. If you pay the minimum payment, it's like ridiculous. So, but I would evaluate where I am, and I would then allocate the funds where it needs to go, and I'd make sure some portion of it goes into some, with a portfolio, whatever your portfolio looks like, whether it's a savings account, whether it's the stock mutual fund portfolio, or whatever. But I think it takes an assessment. I can't speak to everybody, but I just know that the first step I would do is understand where I am and where those funds should be used to improve the platform of where I am, which comes back to understanding, you know, all the components of what makes your life work, including the future of what your plans are. So how much of it should go into savings or investing so that you can achieve the goals you're going after is important, I think.
I love that.
I don't know. What would you do?
Honestly, that sounds like what we should be all doing anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We should have those answers before a random gift of money shows up at our doorstep.
Absolutely.
So we would already know the answer.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I mean, if you knew what was coming. That's my whole impetus behind what we're doing, is be informed before you get it. Know that
right.
It's potential. And if you can even have that conversation with your parents or your husband or whomever, so that you're prepared, you know what to expect. You can plan in advance and so improve yourself and for your community. Because, you know, women are incredibly philanthropic. And, you know, there's, I think, a stat out there that for every dollar a woman gets, 90 cents of it goes back to family and community. And for every dollar a man gets, I think it's 30 cents. So,
wow.
You know, if you come into controlling that kind of money, you have a big impact just by the nature of who we are. So it's something, it's just good to understand and hold within yourself just how powerful you are in creating the life that you want. It is not up to someone else. It is up to you. And the more informed you are in all aspects, the more you can have the dreams that you have for yourself. And that's what I'm really committed to. And I think women have incredible power within them to take charge of all of it. They don't need anybody else to tell them what to do. They're smart enough to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. And we're probably already doing it and just not giving ourselves credit. Because I think that's...
Many of us are.
Very true.
Many of us are, absolutely. There's no confirmation out in the world unless you have a really good friend or like women like you saying you do know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you are capable of doing it and building the confidence. I mean, I have a partner. She always says women have big, bold things to do. I don't disagree with her at all, you know. So it's great. It's great.
I love it.
Be the boss.
Be the boss.
Be brave.
Boss of your own life. The boss of your own life is a very powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. For sure.
Wonderful. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lori. This is
my
wonderful.
I love these conversations, you know. I just think that we're, no matter what's going on in the world right now, I do think women are rising.
I agree.
I think it may be a little hidden right now, but I think more and more women are supporting other women and moving out and getting better informed and taking control, and I think our time is here. So
good. Let it be hidden. Let it be a surprise when we let it be a surprise.
Pop out of that cake.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, sure. Thank you, Lori. Sure. This was empowering.
Thank
I'm ready
you.
To go take on the world today. I feel Absolutely. Like I'm gonna like just go outside and like run and
yes.
roar or something. I don't even know. I'm feeling very empowered.
All right, I'm doing a drive-by, Kelly.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful talking to you both.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Well, that was fun.
You ready to go roar?
I'm ready to go roar. Just call
Do
me
it.
Katy Perry.
You are my Katy Perry.
I do not own the rights to the song I'm about to play.
No. No, you do not, but yeah.
Awesome. Well, I hope people feel empowered and ask questions, and if they don't want to ask questions, learn some things.
Absolutely.
I know we had a happy hour planned tonight for our group and couldn't get a good enough turnout for it to be yep. worth the financial advisor's time, but they were willing to just come and answer questions.
Right.
They just wanted to know what it is that women business owners need to know, which was a great opportunity for women business owners to be in a small space and ask, you know, awkward questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really depressed that it didn't work out. And I know that it's hard to have time in our lives, but if we're not going to make the time in our lives, we can't improve our financial situations.
Scary to talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we were taught to talk about money and to be comfortable to talk about money. So
yeah.
we need to stop worrying about it like that.
Definitely. Well, listeners, open up your web browser and ask the questions and go to your friends and ask the questions and go to your parents and ask the questions, go to your spouse and ask the questions. And get your knowledge. Knowledge is power. And remember that you are so good at so many things that whoever you're asking the questions to suck at. So
mm-hmm.
it's not a lessening for you,
right?
To ask the questions because you are already amazing and you are already doing incredible things.
And remember, you cannot grow from where you are until you know where you are.
Oh, yeah. I'm in. New t-shirt.
Oh, t-shirt, water bottles, canvas bags. Can't wait.
All of it.
Making it all.
All right. Be bold.
Be brave.
Be the boss.
Be the boss.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.